Thank you, Mike. Thank you, choir. Grateful this morning for the grace of God. Amen. Amen. If you've never experienced the grace of God, you have missed the great gift of God. Hey, have your Bibles with you this morning. I want to invite you to follow along. I'm in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes in the fourth chapter. Last week we began about friends. We looked at this story that Jesus shares of the Good Samaritan. When the lawyers, when those in the group challenged Jesus, who is my neighbor? And he tells them the story of the Good Samaritan. And we talked about the fact that a friend is those who are friends when that opportunity arises. We all have opportunities to be friends. And then so this morning I want us to kind of take that a step further. How is it then that we demonstrate that friendship? How do we put friendship into action? 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first African-American to play Major League Baseball. He came under great scrutiny during that time, was ridiculed. If you've ever watched the movie, 47 gives you some great insight into that. When Jackie Robinson was recruited to play, he was given the challenge. Not for someone who would be willing to fight, but for someone who would be willing to stand without fighting. There came a particular game when Jackie Robinson had taken the field, and the crowd there began to ridicule him there at Brooklyn Stadium, and he was just overwhelmed by it all. And he had a teammate. That teammate was Pee Wee Reese. Pee Wee Reese walked over to Jackie Robinson, put his arms around him, and stood beside him there on that field. Jackie Robinson would relate later that that actually saved his career. That in that very moment, he was standing in the balance, very fragile, and just wanting to get away. And because of a friend putting his hand on his shoulder, standing beside him, he was willing to stay the course. I wonder this morning, how many have walked away from where God would have them to be, walked away from a situation because no one was willing to stand with me. Hey, let's face it this morning, come on. Life is difficult and complex. Amen? We all get in those places where it's easier just to walk away, to run away, to go and hide. No one wants to be on that platform where we're being ridiculed, where we're being antagonized. But yet there are those times in life where God places us on that platform for His glory and for His honor. Right? Listen, I ask that God would put me on the platform of being a Major League Baseball player. You know, where I could be on national television, everybody could watch me play, and I could tell how good God was, right? That'd be a great testimony, right? Well, God didn't give me that platform, okay? But God's given me a platform that sometimes has not been very desirable. I've been called to stand in a place sometimes where I was standing all alone. I've heard church members say, "Go get them, preacher, we're right behind you." And their definition of right behind you was about 400 yards off in the distance, almost out of sight. But we're praying for you, right? Now we need those friends who'll come right along beside us, put their arms around us. Stand with us. Now, you might say this morning, man, I wish I had a friend like that. Maybe a better question this morning is, are you a friend like that? You see, I believe that the reason that the church struggles to reach the world for Jesus is because the church doesn't do a very good job of just being a friend. just being a friend to people. Just being good human beings. You know, it really doesn't have anything to do necessarily with being this big super Christian. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to know a whole lot about the Bible or, you know, have some theological degree. A lot of times, influencing the world for Jesus is just simply being a good human being. Being what God has created us to be. God created us because God is love, right? The Bible says that God is love. So God desired to have something to love, and He created us as the crown of all of His creation just so that He could have something, someone to love. We're going to be like God. We're going to be Christ-like. Then that means that we're going to have to love the pinnacle, the crown of God's creation. That means that we're going to have to love one another. We're going to have to love people. Sometimes that means loving people that maybe don't or aren't all that lovable. And when you think about it, you weren't all that lovable when God loved you. And so the challenge this morning is just, how do we become those kind of friends? And the Bible has a lot to say about that. So let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so the Bible gives us some insight in what it means to be a friend, to help someone. First of all, he says here, real friends help friends succeed. Notice what he says there in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. A good friend helps a friend become successful. You know, when I read these words of Solomon, I kind of see right away why a lot of us aren't good friends. A lot of us don't make good friends because we're so stinking self-centered, right? We want people to help us be successful, but we're not necessarily all that excited about helping someone else be successful. You know, the Bible says that we're to pray for one another, we're to bear one another's burdens, we're to cry with one another, right? I think we do a pretty good job of those kind of things. But then the Bible goes on to say that we're to rejoice with one another. But we're so stinking self-centered and selfish, we don't like rejoicing with others because when something good happens for somebody else, we're sitting over there going, well, why didn't that happen to me? And so to be a good friend is really to help others be successful. I want to help you be successful. I want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Listen, the Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 7, when Jesus went in and there was this man, this crippled man, and he had these ailments. He was laying there beside the pool. And you remember the story there in John chapter 5, said the pool would be stirred. The first one in would be him. And so Jesus goes in and he asks the sick man there. He said, sir, he said, why don't you get in the pool? He said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. That's why we know this is a Baptist church. Because everybody wants to get in the pool first. Nobody wants to help the guy that they've seen struggling. And this isn't the first time they've seen him struggle. This man has struggled for years. And for years, people have stepped over him to get down into the pool first. I hesitate to say this, but I recall a particular church that I was in, and we would always, you know, we had, hey, we're Baptists, we like to eat, right? And we would always have these fellowships and these meal times and whatever, and we would always ask, hey, be considerate, let our senior adults go first, Those that have difficulties in navigating, you know, and maybe on walkers, kind of help them get through the line first. We had this one guy. He was not senior adult. He was not disabled in what manner soever. He was always bound and determined he's going to be the first one in line. Didn't matter what else you did. And I realize he's not the only one with that attitude. We always want to be first. We want people to help us become first. But a good friend is someone who will help their friends succeed in life. Most of us are absorbed with our own personal success. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. He places the emphasis, first of all, on rejoicing. Man, we ought to be excited when good things happen to other people, even if they don't happen to us, or maybe even if they happen at our expense. We ought to rejoice when others benefit. You know, next, we'll talk about the four men who brought their friends to Jesus. We're going to get to that. So we ought to be helping people get to Jesus. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. It is that we're willing to invest in the success of other people. Maybe we even help pay for that success. Maybe we're even willing to sacrifice of our own to make sure that they're successful, to encourage them, to come along beside them, to pray for them. And so, first of all, he says that real friends help friends succeed. But then notice what he says there in verse 10. He says that real friends help friends when they fall. Notice what he says there. He says, for if they fall, and can I just say, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's when they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls. Why should you pick up fallen friends? Well, the obvious answer is, one day you're going to fall. And you're going to wish somebody was there to pick you up. And to know that when we help others up, we're helping ourselves up. The Bible says again in Proverbs 17 and verse 17, says a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We want friends to help us in those difficult times. Now, isn't it something that when we think a friend is there just for the good times? Someone who will laugh with us and have fun with us. But here the Bible says that a friend is really someone who's going to be there for the difficult times. For the difficult times. Do you think about it? Think about those friends that you might have in your life. And they're only there when you need them. You ever known those friends? I have a best friend. I consider him a best friend. And I hadn't talked to him in years. He was our preacher's son. And he and I were like brothers at one time. In fact, we sold our house to the church when their family came because our church needed a bigger parsonage. And so our family moved out of the house, and his family moved into our old house, and I just stayed there. And I was almost part of their family. And so through the years, we developed this relationship. And then we kind of went our different ways, and he lives off in another place. But there was those times in our life when both of us went through some times in our family where his dad passed away, my stepdad passed away. We went through some stuff, and we were there for one another. And when we called and talked to each other, when we saw each other, we picked up the conversation as though we had just seen each other the day before. It's those friends that'll be there when nobody else will be there for you. When nobody else can be there for you. Listen, a lot of times in our life we find ourselves in a place where we need a friend. And we wish that we had been a better friend to others, so that we could make a withdrawal on those friendships, right? And so it's important that real friends help friends when they fall. Several years ago, our family, we went to D.C. together. I was touring over there. And we went through the Holocaust Museum. And that's quite mind-boggling to walk through that and to take in all of the atrocities of the Holocaust. But when you go into this one room, there's this one particular room that you go through. And it's just a walkway through the room. And there's a little partition wall on either side, about 3 foot high. It's a little glass, clear glass wall, and there's nothing in that room except shoes. There's big shoes and little shoes and worn out shoes and some shoes that look fairly new. But there's shoes and they're stacked in those on either side of that wall. And it's the shoes of the victims of the Holocaust. And there's a mural painted, or a saying painted there above that, from Martin Niemöller. It says, "In Germany, they came first for the communists, but I did not speak up because I was not communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I did not speak up because I was a Protestant. And then they came for me. And by that time, there was no one to speak up for me." Friend, it's not a matter of if we fall, it's a matter of when we fall. We're going to need a friend. And we need to be friends. You know, quite honestly, I have found in my life that my best friends are not the ones who laugh and hang out with me, but it's the ones who cry with me. Hey, here's an idea this week. You wondering this morning who your best friends are? Get in trouble this week. Hello? Go out and do something stupid this week. Get yourself in some trouble this week. You'll find out who your real friends are. Those will be the ones that will be there for you. Those are the ones that will come along beside you. Listen, a friend is the kind of person, if you call them at 2 o'clock in the morning, they don't answer and go, "What are you doing calling me?" They'll say, "Where are you at and where do you need me?" That's the kind of friends that we need. Well, then he goes on to say that real friends help friends keep warm. Notice what he says there in verse 11. He says, "Again, if two lie down, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone?" Now, it's interesting. In the Jewish context, they understand this. Because in this culture, in this dry, arid place that we think is so hot and all those kinds of things, at night it gets extremely, extremely cold. So they understand the importance of being warm at night. They understand. So a friend, listen, in their culture, you would be looked down upon if you saw a stranger on the street and it was getting dark and you didn't invite them into their home, into your home, so that they could be warm and so that they could be protected. And so he says a friend is someone who is there for us to keep us warm on those cold nights. Now think about it. There's a lot of cold moments in life. Hello? Man, there's a lot of cold times in life. There's a lot of times when people give us the cold shoulders. When we're having relationship problems, when we're having health problems, when we're having financial problems. Charles Swindoll shares this story. It was an old Marine Corps buddy of his. And when he knew him in the Marine Corps, this guy was as tough a guy as there ever was. And he had no need of God. He had no need for religion. I mean, he cussed and carried on and drank. And I mean, he was just rough and tough and crude as they could be. And later, Charles Swindoll found out that this man had come to know Christ as his Lord and Savior after he'd gotten out of the Marines. And they had reacquainted their friendship. And Charles Swindoll shares a conversation that they had. And he shares what this man had told him. He said, "You know, Charles," he says, "the only thing I still miss about that old fellowship I used to have with the guys down at the bar, I remember how we used to sit around and let our hair down, and I can't find anything like that for Christians. I no longer have a place to admit my faults and talk about my battles where someone won't preach to me and frown and quote me a Bible verse." He says, "When I am down and out, man, when I'm feeling the coldness of the world, I don't have a place to go." Charles Swindoll said it wasn't long after that that he was reading, and he came across this paragraph, he came across this article, and he says this. Says, "The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit that there is to the fellowship Christ wants us to have in his church. It's an imitation, dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. But it is permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It is unshockable. It is democratic. You can tell people secrets, and they usually don't tell others or even want to. Sometimes because they can't remember. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. And so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers." And the writer of this article says, "With all my heart, I believe that Christ wants his church to be unshockable, a fellowship where people can come in and say, I am sunk, I am beat, I have had it." Think about it this morning. Ask ourselves the hard question. A woman comes home, or a man comes home, and their wife or their husband announces to them that they no longer want to be married to them. Where does that individual go to find help? Too often they go to the church and they're shamed. What about the spouse that comes home and not only finds out that their spouse no longer wants to be married to them, but they find out that their spouse is now in a homosexual relationship? Oftentimes, they're too embarrassed to come and admit that in church. Where do parents go when their kids get in trouble? When their kids get in trouble, maybe with the law, or maybe their kids get involved in drugs. Too often they don't come to church because the other parents in church will say, "If you'd have been a better parent, your kids would be better kids." Where do you go when you find out that you lost your job? And it was your fault. See, we don't even do a good job when people lose their job and it wasn't their fault ministering to them. Man, those are cold seasons of life, right? So some of you are listening this morning and you're going, you've been there, but you don't want anybody to know you've been there. And some of you can't imagine being there. Or maybe you're in financial ruin and you don't dare come to church and admit that you have a financial need. It seems to me, sadly, this morning that the church is the only organization that shoots its wounded. When we ought to be a hospital for the sick. When we ought to be therapy for those who need help. Where we ought to be a support group for those who feel all alone. You see, a good friend is there to help warm somebody. when they're in those cold seasons of life. You know, sometimes I think it's we treat people that way and we don't even realize it. And I think the greater tragedy for the church is sometimes we treat people like that and we know it. And we do it on purpose. We want our church to be this little perfect picture of perfect people in a perfect church. And that's not the church that's a friend of the world. That's not a church where lost people can come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's not a church that shows the love of Christ outside the four walls of the church. And so, to be a friend, it's friends help friends be successful. Friends help each other when we fall. Friends help each other when we're cold. And lastly, real friends help friends be strong. Look what he says there in verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is some more kind of nitty-gritty stuff. It just goes to show us that real friendships are proven by what we do, not by what we say. We get in the trenches with one another. What we do when our friend is being attacked by an enemy. He needs you to help him defend himself. It means to go into battle with him. It means to take up arms with him. Listen, and then he says a threefold together makes it an even stronger defense. This is why gangs are so prevalent in neighborhoods and in inner cities today. I've read articles where black males are so fearful of their life that they're giving their sons, their kids, guns at 11 and 12 years old because they know how dangerous it is on the streets. And a lot of them are without father figures, and so they're going into gangs looking for a male role model. And that's what they're finding. And my question is, why can they find it so easily on the street and they can't find it in the church? I've been in the jail for years. Not my fault. I've been in the jail for years. And I tell those guys in the jail all the time, you need at least three guys in your life. You need a guy that's like 10 or 15 years older than you, that you can go to them and say, hey, look, I need you to help me get from where I'm at to where you're at. And then you need a second guy in your life. You need a guy who's kind of your equal, a guy that can be your accountability partner, a guy that can look you straight in the eye and say, hey, dude, are you being faithful to your wife? Or are you clean? Are you staying off the drugs? Or are you staying away from pornography? You know, somebody that can really hold you accountable and call you out when you try to lie to them. You need that guy in your life. And then you need a third guy in your life. You need a guy that's younger than you. You need somebody that you can invest in because it can't all be about you. You can't be selfish. You need somebody else that you can help and say, hey, look, I've been down that path and that will get you in trouble. You need somebody that you need to be investing your life into somebody else to help them be successful. Right? I tell the guys this all the time. And I tell them the best place to find that guy is at church. And then I tell them this, but it's the hardest place to find that guy. Because when you come to church, that guy's going to look at you, he's going to know you have a record, and he's not going to want to have anything to do with you. But you have to make him. And then I go to the church and I tell the guys in the church, hey, you need three guys in your life. And I really talk about that guy that you need to be investing in. And I tell them, I've got a jailhouse full of those guys that you need to be helping. You've got to be willing to get in the trench with them. You've got to be willing to invest in them, knowing that they're probably going to fall off the wagon at some point in time. Because usually they don't get right the first time. None of us do. That's what friends do. Friends are there to give each other strength in those times. They make a commitment to one another. I think about the greatest friendship that I know of in Scripture is the friendship between Jonathan and David. Remember that friendship? If you go back and look in 1 Samuel chapter 20 or so, you see some interaction there between David and Samuel. And they made a commitment to each other. They said, "We have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord." That's that third cord. It's that friendship that's bound together by a commitment to one another and a commitment to Jesus Christ. Your friends ought to know that they're your friends. You need to make that verbal commitment. You need to be willing to risk what others might think about them. Hey, listen, that we all want to be friends with the guy that's popular and that everybody likes. We ought to take the risk. Hey, you know what? I'm going to be that guy's friend. Well, nobody likes him. Yeah, I know. That's why he needs a friend. That's the guy we need to be making friends with. And we don't need to wait for our friends to ask for help. We need to step in and give them help. To come along beside them there. There's a story that Donald Barnhouse shares. Several years ago, there were two students that graduated from the Chicago Kent College of Law. The highest ranking student in that class was blind. Last name was Overton. And he was blind. And he received the highest honor. But he insisted that his friend, Kasperzak, share in that honor. And the reason that he insisted that Kasperzak share in that honor was because Kasperzak was armless. But he could see. And so he would lead Overton around on the campus. But he didn't have arms. Overton had arms, but he didn't have eyes to see. And so together, they helped one another to achieve great success. To be strong. To be warm. That's a great picture. See, there's things that, abilities that I don't have. And there's abilities that you don't have. But together, our friendships, we can help one another to become successful. In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said this, "Greater love has no man shown than to lay down his life for that of a friend." Jesus gave us that ultimate example of what it really means to be a friend. Jesus came to do for me what I couldn't do. Jesus came and paid a price I couldn't pay. Paid a debt that I owed. That's the kind of friend Jesus is. That's the kind of friendship that we need to demonstrate to one another every day. And if you've never had a friend like that, I want you to know, listen to me this morning. I want you to know this morning, if you've never had a friendship like that, I want you to know there's a God this morning that loves you, that sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins so that you would know what it is for someone to help make you successful, someone to give you strength, someone to keep you warm, someone to pick you up when you fall. There is no other friend like the friend that we have in Jesus Christ. This morning, if you don't know Him, I would love to be able to introduce Him to you this morning. This morning, God loves you, and you have a friend in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, we love You. God, we're thankful for the morning. God, we're thankful for the time in Your Word today. God, I just thank You, God, for the friends as I look back in my life. God, those that You have put in my life in special times, needful times. And so, God, as I reflect back on how much those friendships meant to me, God, I pray that I can be that kind of friend to others. And God, to think this morning and to reflect on the greatest friendship of all, God, that's the friendship that you showed through Christ Jesus. And God, there's some folks this morning, I know, in this building. God, there's some folks that are watching online. God, there's some folks that are listening on the radio this morning. And God, at this very moment, they feel as though they have not one friend in this whole world. God, they feel so alone and so isolated. And God, maybe some are even at the point where they're about to give up hope. Maybe some have, God. But I pray right now, Father, that they would hear your voice. God, that they would feel your presence in their life. God, that they would feel your warmth. God, that they would be filled with your strength. And I pray, God, that they would just hear your voice, encourage them today. And I pray, God, that this morning you would give them the ability, God, to give up all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about Christ Jesus. And God, that may just simply be, I need a friend. That's all I know about me. And Jesus has offered himself to be my friend and my Savior. And God, if that's all they understand, they understand enough. And so, Father, today I pray that they would just cry out to you. Father, again this morning, we love you. And God, we give you praise and glory and honor for the morning. God, we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, Brother Mike's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. This is an invitation time that God extends to you. It's an invitation to come into this personal relationship that God desires to have for you. To know that even though you're a sinner, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to pay the price for those sins so that you can be made right in right relationship with him. It's an invitation that we extend as a church. Say, man, we would love to have you come and be a part of our family, to grow in relationship here. To have a place of belonging, a place where you can find refuge, a place where people will pray for you and support you and encourage you, warm you, help you up. And so we invite you to come this morning. Maybe this morning you want to just come to the altar and pray. Maybe you know a friend this morning that needs prayer. You come and pray for that friend this morning. As we stand and Brother Mike leads us, you come right now. Without waiting, without hesitating, just simply come this morning.
Christ the King.
God for you. Listen, if you're listening on the radio today, watching online, we would love for you to be able to share with us your decision for Christ today. So you can private message us, you can call us. We'd love to be able to share with that. Hey, you know, one of the hardest things as a pastor for me is to end the service. And I know some of you are going, yeah, we know. But listen, it's hard when I feel like God's speaking into hearts and speaking into lives. But I want you to know, even though we end the service, God's invitation is still extended. I pray that before it's everlastingly too late, God's spoken into your heart. I pray you'd receive Christ today. Hey, find somebody, find a friend that you can share that with, pray together with this morning. Hey, I'm going to ask a couple of our guys. We're going to have plates this morning at the door leading out on both ends here. We took up a love offering last week. We got kind of two different needs going on kind of at the same time. So if you'd like to specify which area you would like to give, you can do that as well. But we took up a love offering last week for our associational office, some project that they're working on. But then also a project that we took on right here for Miss Nancy. And so we had some guys yesterday. If you were out there, raise your hand. I want these guys to raise their hand. Raise your hand, guys. All right, we had about 9 or 10 guys out there at Miss Nancy's house yesterday. Built a front deck for her and a ramp up for her. She's going to be having a knee replacement August the 2nd, so pray for her. But we're thankful for these guys being the hands and feet of Jesus, going out there and helping put that together. And so if you'd like to kind of help pay for that project, you can participate as well by giving. And so if you'd like to designate which one of those it goes to, you can do that, or you can just give and we'll put it accordingly, okay? So help us give and support those ministries, all right? Another thing, another opportunity that you have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Next Sunday night, July the 31st, we have our small groups that meet at 5 o'clock. And then immediately following that, 6:30-ish or so, we're going to be going to Porter's Chapel Academy. And we're going to be going over to Beechwood Elementary. And we're going to be going over there onto those campuses. And we're going to be praying. We're going to be doing a prayer walk, just praying over those campuses, praying for the students, praying for the teachers, praying for the administration there, and just praying that God would bless them and that God would protect them through this new school year. I know that Chris could speak to that. Chris is the headmaster over at Porter's Chapel, and so we're getting into this partnership, looking forward to what God's going to do. So we're going to have an opportunity to go firsthand next week and pray over that school there as well. So come and be a part of that next Sunday night. Okay? All right. Anything else? Did I miss anything? Did I miss anybody? Ma'am?
Our second need.
Yes, the second need is for the ramp and all that we built yesterday for Miss Nancy to help pay the cost of that materials and stuff, okay? And then the other need is for our associational office and project that's going on there, some remodeling and things, okay? All right, so you give however God leads you to do that, all right? Again, Chris, man, it's been good to have you guys with us this morning. Looking forward to Wednesday night. His sons and their significance are here with them. Mother-in-law is here. So we're grateful to have all of them with us today. Have some other guests with us all over the room today. Man, we had a lot of guests today. So we're thankful for you being here with us today. Pray that God's blessed you and your time with us today. I'm going to ask if Chris would close us in a word of prayer. And then after we pray, Mike's going to lead us in a closing song this morning. Okay? So Chris, would you close us this morning?
Father God, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we just thank you, first and foremost, for the blessings that we have of salvation through your Son. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much so long ago that you sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. And we thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to come together as the body of Christ and come here and fellowship and come here and worship in your holy name. Father, we thank you for this service that we had today, and I pray, Father, that your word has resonated from your heart to the hearts of God's people. And I pray, Father, that you will take this message and help us to grow in who we are as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I want you to know that we love you, we give you all praise, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, and we thank you for the blessings that we are to receive in the future. We love you, we praise you, help us to be kingdom builders in this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.